Well, this is Local Matters. Welcome, everyone. And we are talking to Deborah Whitaker, the Supervisor of Instruction for Jackson County Schools. And Deb, this is our second go-around. We had so much fun talking about some issues here our last time that we're back to do a little bit more discussion. So you are the Supervisor of Instruction. So all of the instructional materials, all of the teachers, I focus in one way or another on you, and you focus on them. Tell us a little bit about Jackson County Schools and how many students you have, and we'll talk from there.
We have four schools. We have Dodson's Branch Elementary, which is a pre-K 8 school, about 250 students. We have Gainsborough Elementary, about 360, pre-K 3. Jackson County Middle School grades a pre-K, which is kind of unusual there. Then they skip up to grades 4 through 8, about 450, and Jackson County High School 9 through 12, here again about 450. So I think we finished last year with about 1,435 students.
Great, great. And many of them go on to a variety of different things. Some come to Tennessee Tech. Obviously, Jackson County is a great feeder school and a great partner with Tennessee Tech University. But tell us what some of the students do when they leave. They don't just go to Tennessee Tech. They go to other universities, and many go on just directly into the workforce.
Absolutely. We have a small number, usually around 5%, if you look at the average, that go to the military directly. We have about 40% that go on to community college, usually Vol State here. About 30% go on to Tennessee Tech or another four-year school, and then a smaller number than we would have thought go on to the TCATs, or some go, of course, directly to work, although that number seems to be shrinking over the last few years as more opportunities are available to continue their education.
Yeah.
Right now, you go to work because you choose to, because there still are options for you to go on and finish that. We're offering more and more dual enrollment opportunities, not just with the on the college level, which was traditional, but now with the TCATs. We have partnership with TCAT at Hartsville through Tri-County and Red Boiling, which has gone on for many, many years, probably 30 years at least.
Yeah.
But we've also now got a partnership with TCAT in Livingston, who offers health science on our campus, and we'll be offering some other things on the campus starting in this fall with a satellite campus down there.
Yeah, it's great that the TCAT, and TCAT is the Tennessee College of Applied Technology. The TCAT in Livingston is, I guess, the home campus for your area, but you're just about as close to Red Boiling Springs in Hartsville.
Well, Hartsville for students in that side of the county is viable. And for students on the other side, but we want to offer everybody that opportunity. Just like Tennessee Tech's not perfect for everybody,
Absolutely.
Ball State's not perfect for everybody. We do have a partnership now with Middle Tennessee State University. They're actually offering criminal justice dual enrollment class.
Great.
For the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing some things with them. And we have one unique program. I'd like to tout it a little bit. This is Joe's baby, Mr.
Joe Barlow,
our director. Uh-huh. And it's called the Jackson County Literacy Project, and it's kind of built on the premise of some of the Kindergarten Ready, where they bring parents in and teach them about reading to their child, how important it is, and some of the skills they need.
Outstanding. That's great.
What we're doing is we're taking every senior. It's a half-credit course required to graduate. Every senior at Jackson County High School learns about the importance of literacy. They have to do a service project. They have to actually read to children. They choose books.
Oh, what a great experience for them.
So that when they do have children, they will already, hopefully, at least in the back of their mind, know it's important that I have books in my home. It's important that I read to my child. It's important that I feel like I know how to do things. I think we're the only one in the state right now, but it's certainly something that other folks might want to consider copying. I think it's been very valuable. Our teachers have gotten a lot from it. Our students have gotten a lot from it.
I love that concept. And that brings up one other aspect of some of what you do that I don't know if you have shared that with your steering committee, but you serve on the Workforce Development Steering Committee for the Highlands Initiative, and I know you attend a lot of meetings where there may be five other counties there with schools, so I'm sure you've shared that, but that is a wonderful concept.
I'm very proud. Joe's had that idea, and Christy Brown, principal at the high school, and he have worked together and made it work, and we have actually done a lot of things with that. It was interesting the other day. One of our teachers, our TCAT teacher who teaches a section of it, they did a book drive and got about 3,000 books. So they made little bags and they gave to the local sheriffs, to the highway patrol. And so if you get pulled over and you've got a child in your back seat, they can give them a book. So one of our students had an aunt who got pulled over for speeding in Kentucky. And she said, well, while he was writing me a ticket, he handed my child a book. And we opened it up when we got home, and it said Jackson County High School.
How about that?
So that's reached much further than we were aware. But it's what a great thing to have a child have a positive experience with a policeman.
Absolutely.
For a change, because so much of our experience is negative and so much of the perception is negative.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing that's
come out of it. That is a good thing, and that's a great program that you've got going. I hope you do get it out where it's shared with a lot of other school systems. So that's good. We're talking to Deborah Whitaker from Jackson County Schools. What are some of the challenges that students face on a daily basis in Jackson County, in Overton County, Clay County, Putnam County, you name it, there's challenges. So what kind of things come to mind that you see every day?
One of the biggest challenges I see is more and more students who are not connected to that nuclear family that we all take for granted or took for granted. I see more and more students who are being raised by grandparents, who are being raised by aunts, by uncles, by friends. Our homeless numbers in the high school are astounding. Now,
Wow. Just
saying, some of it is homeless by choice. They just don't live at home. They live here, yonder, and elsewhere. Some of it is not by choice. But we did not face some of the things that they do. Also, I think that the choices, as we said, there are so many choices now for students to make, even beginning at the earlier grades, that it's very difficult because they don't have a basis of comparison. And the academics are much more rigorous than they've ever been before. So we've got families who are ill-prepared to help their student. There is no family out there. I don't think we've got parents who say, I'm just not going to help my child. But I think we have a lot of parents who don't know how.
Sure.
They don't know how. As you know, education levels in the Upper Cumberland are not as high as they are in the state of Tennessee. In Jackson County, we have about, I think the last thing I saw, 8% college graduates. We're up in the 70s now, finally, with high school graduates. But we have still a lot of students who have parents and grandparents who did not graduate from high school or who graduated back when I did, when you took arithmetic and general science.
Right.
And my own daughter, she called me one night and she said, Olivia is in the third grade and I have a degree from Tennessee Tech and I can't do third grade math.
And I face that with my grandchildren. You know, they'll come in with a problem and it's the new math. It's a new way of formulating a problem. And it drives me crazy to have to rethink how I've always done something to make it done the way they need to do it.
And now so much of it is, here's the answer, why? And I want to go, because it is. it is. 2 + 2 = 4. Why? Because it is. And that's not the way they do it anymore. It is very, very hard for us, quote unquote, old folks.
Yes.
To readjust to that, there's been lots of frustration over it. I don't know that it's a bad thing. I think teaching students to think is hard work, but it's good in the long run. But in the short run, it's making us all crazy. Then we also have electronics technology is wonderful, and it is also, as I told somebody, Facebook is of the devil.
I understand.
I am convinced technology is the best thing and the worst thing that has ever happened to public education or education in general.
Right.
It is a distraction. It causes so much disconnection. I do think we have relationships, even friendships, are not like they were. So it's very hard for us as adults to deal with it. We have kids who have, quote-unquote, friends from 5,000 miles away that they feel closer to than the people in the room with them.
That's correct, yeah. And that presents a challenge to the teachers, doesn't it? Because they have to teach in a different way than they did for you and me. An emoji means something different to a student today than it did to me, and I just can't get an emotional thing out of a screen.
Exactly. It's sort of like books and technology. I still like to have a book in my hand. As I said, I'm old. I like black ink on white paper. However, I do think the best technology in the whole world is the Kindle, because the 4,700 books that are on my Kindle are not sitting in my floor. But even then, you have students in the room together, and they'll text each other instead of talking.
Yes.
So as we see that now, the soft skills are what's lacking. Before, for employment or education, it was lack of content. It was lack of knowledge of material. And now they know material, but they can't work together.
Yeah.
They don't communicate with each other or with other people. And even we have had the discussion in principals' meetings with some of our young teachers. It's virtually impossible to get them to call parents. They'll email
yes.
them or they'll text them.
Right.
And say, pick up the flipping phone and just talk to them. No, not even a little bit.
It's
a generational divide because, you know, for us, I'd rather talk to you because I can hear kind of
correct
judge from your voice. But some of our younger teachers, they are very uncomfortable
absolutely
with that.
Absolutely right.
And with face-to-face meetings, they just don't much want to do that.
And that's a cultural change that we're seeing all over the nation. It's not just here in the Upper Cumberland.
No.
But it presents new challenges to a teacher. Well, this is Local Matters, and we are talking to Deborah Whitaker from Jackson County High School, or Jackson County Schools, mm-hmm. not just Jackson County High School, and we'll be back in just a moment. This is Local Matters. We're talking to Deborah Whitaker, and Deb, we were talking about students and some of the challenges they face, but there's another group of students in every school that are a little bit special in the sense that they are student athletes, and we celebrate their accomplishments, and but they've got some tough times too. They've got a lot of extra practices and things. Tell us about your student athletes. Certainly Jackson County High School has had some tremendous success over the years.
We've been well known. We play a little ball, do a little academics, and we play a little ball. Yes, we have. And I think student athletes are in a unique place, especially in a small school, because they're so very visible. They are the face of that school in the community. And here again, maturity-wise, they don't maybe realize that. But we hold them up to a much higher standard than we do our regular students. And it sometimes puts pressure on them. Now, being an athlete or being involved in anything is great because you learn time management skills. You learn work. You learn to work as a team. You learn that sometimes you do your best and you're still not successful. And that's a great lesson.
That's a good lesson.
That's a good lesson because, you know, somebody's got to lose. When you're sitting there at the finals of the state tournament, and you're holding that silver ball and crying your eyes out because it's not the go ball. But still, you know, number two stinks. But there's a lot of people who aren't even there.
That's right.
But you do your best, and sometimes you don't get the go ball. And sometimes you don't even get the silver ball. That's a good life lesson, but it's very, very tough. We require, and used to, there were seasons. You had football, and then it was over. And you had basketball, and then it was over. And then you had baseball, and then it was over. And now every sport is 12 months a year,
yeah.
Which in a small school is very tough because we have lots of kids who bleed over, lots of girls who play volleyball and basketball or basketball and softball, lots of boys who play football and basketball or basketball and baseball. And it makes it really hard because you've got coaches who are competing for their time and their energy. And every child's got so much time and so much energy that's available to them. And then, oh, yeah, they're taking some classes. So it might be nice if they could do a little coursework. It puts pressure on them. And I know as the grandmother of a girl who played basketball and softball, even as a freshman. And so she spent a lot of time sitting and watching people play. And that's okay. That's okay. That's a learning experience,
too.
That's learning too.
Right.
But sometimes you don't get home till midnight and you've got something due the next day. So part of that is learning to do things in advance, learning to judge your time, your effort, your energy, and learning to do that. Now, one of the hardest things, I think, for student athletes, especially in smaller schools, is we don't do a good job of preparing them for what happens when it's over. After that senior night,
yes.
And suddenly you're not the be-all and end-all. And we've had some students who've gone on to college. But you know something? It's not just a big deal in college like it is in high school. All the people in your class don't know that you're playing or care.
Yeah.
And they don't all come to your games.
Absolutely right.
They don't congratulate you on that winning shot. Nobody's teachers are going, well, I know y'all were so far away, so we'll just not have that test today. We'll have it for the whole class tomorrow so that, you know, because it's just not fair to the 12, 20 kids who are gone.
Right.
And then even more, if you're not playing ball, if you're done, when you're a has-been, and you go from that camaraderie, that being part of a team, to being cut loose, it's very hard.
It is tough on someone at that age especially to be cut.
It's very, very tough. And then I think, too, that's why we see so many, 40-year-old men who are still reliving their glory days. They never learned how to give it up.
Yeah.
When the best time of your life was when you were in high school.
Yeah.
Then you needed to have done a better job with your life. So
yeah, you're right, and we all know some folks like that. And in one sense, it's great that they still are connecting back to those experiences. But there's life beyond that too. We are talking to Deborah Whitaker, and Deb, let's talk a little bit about school safety in general, a topic that's relevant all over the nation, and then a little bit about bullying in schools also. And I know at the elementary school level, that's a different kind of subject than it is at the high school. But what is Jackson County Schools doing, or what do you see that the entire state is doing in terms of school safety and making school a safe place to learn?
We've always been concerned with students being safe. It looks different now than it used to. The state itself has taken steps. They're now requiring safety plans. They're putting a little money out there to help schools be safe. We're doing some audits of every building to see where possible problems are and working with that. The problem with school safety, as we've discussed, you know, the people, the shooters, and that's what we all think about when we think about school safety.
Right.
We all think about somebody coming in and shooting the place up. By and large, it's not some stranger. It's a student.
Yeah, that's correct.
And when we're doing all these things to keep people out, we're not usually doing anything to keep our students out. And
right.
They're the ones who are probably the most risky and the ones who know the most about what's going on in our buildings.
And they're the ones in the school that I grew up in a small town or in Jackson County. Oftentimes, most of the students, or many of them, familiar with guns, may have a hunting rifle in their mm-hmm. truck during deer season or during turkey season, have a shotgun. So they're comfortable with a gun.
Absolutely. Before the law went into effect barring weapons on campus, if you went to our parking lot and walked through it, 95% of the trucks would have a gun rack and at least one weapon. It was not unusual for kids to come in camouflage. They'd been deer hunting that morning, had a gun, had a knife in the console.
Yeah.
And we didn't think anything about it.
Right.
It was simply accepted. It was commonplace. And I think that this comfort level with weapons is a plus and a minus. Yes, they are able to handle a weapon, so they can do something dangerous with it. But it's not the weapon. And I'm certainly for reasonable. Crazy people should not have guns. And if we can keep them from getting guns, we should. That's just simple enough. But it's the person behind that gun.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if it's not a gun, you can kill somebody with a rock or a stick if you want to. I think the issue is that mental health or what you can't legislate that.
No,
and it's
you can't.
Very, very tough. Very tough. Because we as public schools are inclusive. We can't tell somebody, I'm sorry, your kid's crazy and they can't come to school here.
Right.
We don't get to do that. We have to deal with what we have. And we have to do the best we can with what we have. Now, we have good kids. Like I said, we have good kids. We have kids with problems just like everybody else does.
Every school system in the nation does.
Every school system does. It's just a matter of trying to keep that child from reaching that breaking point or identifying the stressors and trying to step in there. And that's tougher and tougher because as schools, we used to be in charge of educating children. That's what we did. They came to school. We taught them reading, writing, and arithmetic. And if you could read and write and cipher, we had done our job. Now we teach all these things, and we feed them, and we clothe them, and we provide basic medical care. And we are their psychiatric social workers. And we are their prison guards.
And their counselors.
And their counselors. Yep. And we are all things to all people, which means we don't have a whole lot of time to be anything to anybody.
Yeah.
So sometimes we don't identify those kids the way we should. And then sometimes there are triggers that, looking back, you know, hindsight, as I say, is always 20/20. And you sure. go, well, you should have seen that. But if you saw that in that child, you also saw that in 25 other kids. So
a lot of your students go on to great careers and go on to super things. I know one, Susan Elkins, who proud graduate of Jackson County School Systems and now is a chancellor in the University of South Carolina system. Name another one or two that have gone on to great things or just that you're proud of.
We're on the radio, so let's talk about Drew Huffines. Drew Huffines was one of the pioneers of radio in the Upper Cumberland. He was on the radio a lot of years ago.
That's correct.
In Livingston, and did good things. Harry Lee Page, and I'm going back several years, but one of the pioneers of open heart surgery, Jackson County High School graduate. We have got lots of lawyers, lots of doctors, lots of nurses, lots of pharmacists. For a little school, when you look at things, we have done a lot to prepare people for careers. As I've told someone, our schools, we don't do a lot of things. Now Cookeville High School is huge, and they offer a lot of programs. And I am envious of some of them. I wish we could do some of the things they do. We can't. We offer some very basic things. I like to think we try to do a really good job of what we do.
And those students go on to great things in many different areas. So there's wonderful opportunity out there if students will take advantage of it. Well, we've been talking to Deborah Whitaker, the Supervisor of Instruction at Jackson County Schools. Deb, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.